We're looking now at just various topics in Proverbs. Tonight, I want to take some time and talk about the legacy of unhappy people. Or you could say, be careful who you entertain. Proverbs 26, verse 17 through 22, it says, like the one who seizes on the ears of a dog is he who passes by and becomes angry with a dispute that's not his own. Like one behaving as a madman is one who shoots firebrands, arrows, and death. So too is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, was I not joking? For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no grumbling informer, contention quiets down. Like charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a grumbling informer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the innermost core of a person. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16, it says, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. I want you to be shrewd as serpents and innocent, pure, or harmless as doves. And in Matthew chapter 16, verse 19 and 20, it says, for the report of your obedience has reached to all. Therefore, I'm rejoicing over you, but I want you to be wise with regard to what is good and innocent with regard to what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus will be with you, or be with you. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 19 and 20, Paul speaking here to the church, for you, being so shrewd, bear with the foolish gladly. For you bear with anyone if he enslaves you, if he devours you, if he takes advantage of you, if he exalts himself, or if he hits you in the face. So Father, bless our time. And we just pray that you'll give us wisdom as we look at this tonight. We thank you for the privilege that we have of being together. We thank you we still live in a nation that gives us the right and privilege to do this. We thank you that we can speak freely. And Lord, we thank you that your very spirit is in the midst of what we say and do. We ask for your presence in everything. We pray for our friend and brother in the Lord, Louis DeMeo, that is struggling right now with COVID. I think he's been taken to the hospital. We ask for your care in his life, Lord. He's a good friend. We just ask for your care. And we pray for those in the church that are struggling with illness. We ask for your keeping and covering and care there. And we just pray for your guidance in this nation, Lord, all the various aspects of it. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So Proverbs is, interesting in many ways. And we could just go through verse by verse. We've kind of covered the first nine chapters, to be honest with you, in terms of the topics. Now I just want to look at special portions of Scripture that kind of speak to us in various ways. And this is one of those interesting portions of Scripture that kind of speaks to a unique topic. With the title here, I want you to think of this first person as this kind of grumbling informer. The word here in the Hebrew speaks of a person who is, it was used in Numbers chapter 11 and Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 27 to speak of the Israelites when they were in their tents complaining about what they didn't have. So in Numbers 11, they were thinking about all the food that they were, the leeks and the garlic and all the food that they had in Egypt, and they were grumbling in their tent, and it's referred to again in Deuteronomy 1:27. That word is used in that way of these people that were just simply upset with the things that they seemed to be lacking. So it underlying this word is this sense of a person that just simply is dissatisfied. The Bible speaks in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 5 of a person who just simply trusts in their own humanity. And it says that that person is going to be cursed by God. And one of the qualifiers of that individual or descriptors is that they couldn't see the good or the blessing of God when it came. They just won't be able to see it. And there is a sense where this is something that we've all kind of either experienced or we've partaken of. We've had it. It's been a part of our life at various times. So this person is that kind of person that's dissatisfied. And I think we live in a world full of people, if they don't know Christ, that have this inner dissatisfaction. In other words, they're looking for satisfaction and they cannot find it in a world that just simply isn't qualified to give it to them. It wasn't meant to be the means by which we obtain satisfaction. So they're by nature, and I really mean by nature, they are dissatisfied within their heart. They're grumbling people that actually go around grumbling informers. They're going to pass that on to other people. And we were sharing in the car, Matt and I, as I was driving up here. If you think about modern history, you had the medieval times up until the point of the printing press. The printing press was probably the most dramatic change up until this point in history, in human history. The reason being is that at that point in time, the whole world could become fluent. They could read. You'll remember at that time, the Bible was being now, you had Wycliffe and others that were translating the Bible. Luther was translating into German. We had people translating the Bible. The common person was reading the Bible. That led the way, literally, to what we know to be the modern era, where scientism and these other beliefs became very much a part of our modern world. It was the printing press. It was dramatic because it just opened the floodgate of information for the common person in a way that had never been before. Prior to that time, the common person had no relationship, most likely couldn't read, had no relationship to any of those forms of literature. They just simply were uneducated people. They didn't know. So they were dependent upon what a priest or some other person told them. But then the word was opened up for all. And we saw how that not only brought on the Reformation, but after that we have what we know to be the modern industrial period, all because of people being educated in such a way. We've actually had something as dramatic, probably more dramatic than the, you know, combustion engine, more dramatic than airplanes, more dramatic than the first man setting foot on the moon, more dramatic than anything. And that's literally the internet. That we have this incredible open door for information, very similar to what we see in terms of the printing press, just a flood of information. People being able to basically pump out information. And a person can access that information at any given time. You can get just basically on any topic, you can address it. You know, go to Yahoo or whatever. I don't know. I'm just saying, you Google it, you get it, you have the information. It really is, in many ways, very similar to that time way back when the printing press was created. And you'll remember that when it was created, there was a great deal of persecution that was directed towards that people didn't want the Bible translated in the language of the common person. There was a tremendous amount of persecution around that. And what we're seeing is this form of tension now in our culture because there's just this flood of information. But I think tonight, if we can look at these verses and kind of dig into them just a little bit, it might help us. The first one is that verse 17, the one who seizes on the ears of a dog. Now, I used to think that that meant a person went and grabbed a dog by the ears, and that would not be a very, especially if it was in, back in these days, these were not animals that had been in any way trained, or they were not domesticated, and you probably would have been like grabbing a wild, you know, wolf or something like that by the ears. It wouldn't have been a very smart thing to do. But I think it is actually different. If you've ever heard one dog bark, if you live in a neighborhood where you have dogs like I do, if one dog barks, what happens to the next dog next door? They start barking, right? And then the dog right below that begins to bark, and this one behind the fence over here begins to bark. The next thing you know, you got like five different animals barking in just a very short, you know, small area. Because when one dog barks in the ears of the other dogs, the next thing that's going to happen is they're going to bark. Well, in many ways, that's the way we are as human beings. If we're not careful to what we listen to and what we take in, we're just like the barking dog that just heard somebody else bark and now we're going to bark. We're just that, the next one to vocalize what we just heard. Now, we don't necessarily, I don't know that my dogs understand why the dog behind the next fence over here is barking. They just bark. My dogs will go to the fence and they bark at each other. It's just, I don't even know that they know why they bark. They just bark. Because when one dog barks, they all bark. And I think that's much like our culture today. We have somebody that's got some kind of inner need to vocalize. It doesn't have to be true. Doesn't have to be accurate. It could be just their own personality. Could be their own perspective. Could be that they really mean well by it, but they're just wrapped up in something. But they're going to bark. And the next thing you know, somebody else is taking that and they're barking right along with it, and it just snowballs. That's much of what goes on in our culture today. Think about how many people's reputation and lives have been destroyed because of comments on Facebook or Twitter or whatever it is. I don't do any of that. Don't intend to do it tomorrow. Have no real care for any of it. The reason being is it's a great opportunity for something to be used against you. So I'll stay out of that medium. But people bark and then pass it on. It's just the way it is. And our culture is full of this. Now, by the way, I'm not saying it's bad. It's just a tool. Just like any other good thing, as we've been studying in Genesis, that can be used in a bad way. Simple as that. And the devil loves to do this. So if you think about this person becomes angry, and notice this, it's a dispute that's not his own. Just heard it from someone else. He's just getting involved in a contentious issue that isn't, they have no true relationship with. Now, I just want you to take a moment and think about in the last year and a half, 2 years, how many times you and I can speak to myself, I've gotten upset about something I really don't know anything about. I've just heard what someone else had to say about it. And I've taken the facts that they've given me, and that's influenced my opinion, and it's bothered me. It's upset me because I got involved in something that, in all honesty, I just was passing by and this dog was barking. I felt like I needed to bark too. That's exactly what's being said here. And notice that this person, it says, is behaving like a madman. Actually, the word does mean somebody who's insane. Because it's insanity for us to think that we can understand what's going on in the mind or the heart of another person, and that we can figure out all the ramifications and details of what's being done, especially when we're being flooded with so much information these days. It's insanity. says this person shoots firebrands, arrows, and ultimately death. We actually do hurt people. And so too is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, notice this, was I not joking? Now we live in a day and in a culture where I doubt that anybody is taking full responsibility for the things that they say. And people are allowed to say just about anything and get away with it. And that is just really tragic. Let me just say that that's only how it appears, because there is a judge in heaven and you don't really just get away with it, because we're all going to give an account. And that's why Jesus was very clear that our words on this earth should be very few. That we shouldn't just be opinionated people. Because it's typical for us to get engaged in things. And in a way, be like a madman, an insane person, just sharing what we can't really prove and we don't really know and we've just heard it and we got involved in something we shouldn't have gotten involved in, and we're just shooting out information to the hurt of other people. So we have to be really careful with this. And I think for us as Christians, this becomes incredibly important. Because we have to ask ourselves, in an environment where this is just rampant, what is going to be the testimony? Is it going to be the person who's just the most right person? The most factually correct person? Is that what people are going to draw to? Or is it going to be the person who's dependent upon something greater than the truths or the information that this world is providing? And I honestly believe that we as Christians, this is where we have to be. The more I get into this, the more convinced I am. Notice that for lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no grumbling influencer, a discontented person who's just unhappy, that's sharing their unhappiness with other people, contention quiets down. And like charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. In other words, I guess we could say that this person, this grumbling informer, is a person who has, as we'll see in a moment, kind of lost their own reason, their meaning. And we have to ask ourselves, as believers, what is our meaning in life? And you'll notice here in this last verse in this text, it says that this influencer, his words are like delicious morsels. The word actually does mean this. It means that this is something that people are really intrigued by. That it's just, you want to hear it. Because I think it's innately part of every one of us to want to hear something about another person so that we don't have to feel so bad about ourselves. Like if I hear that, I can medicate my own hurt right now. I don't have to think about myself and how bad I am because this person and what they've done is far worse. I don't know about you, but if you listen to the news these days, this is pretty much every day, 24/7. You're just listening to somebody that you can put in a worse position as a worse human being than you are yourself. That's all it is. And there's a part of all of us that wants to do this. In other words, we're inclined to this. I think it comes from that initial sin at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We choose to be like God, deciding what is good and what is evil. We don't allow him the privilege of being God over these things. So it's an interesting thing. But you'll notice that a person that lives by this, it says it goes down into the very recesses of that person. These things affect us. They affect the way that we relate to life around us. It affects the way that we relate to one another. It affects how we view the world. It actually affects us on a very deep and personal level. It actually does. I guess the best thing is it corrupts us. It corrupts us in such a way that we can no longer see the good. That it, even when it's right there staring us in the face, we can't see it. In a way, we get to the point where nothing is good, because we're not a person in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7 and on, that's trusting in the Lord, that's planted, that doesn't see the heat when it comes, that produces fruit even in the dry season. Roots are deep. It has nourishment that comes from another source. It's not derived from this world around us. A very important element. So this is the first thing. This person is a grumbling informer. And I think that we could say that what has happened to us through social media today, grumbling informers have been exponentially, like the stars in the sky, have been multiplied in our world. We used to have just a few people that we could almost identify within our own ranks. Maybe we would read in the newspaper, there'd be a few of those, but now you can just take that and you can multiply it by the billions, because it's just everywhere and it's inundating us. It's flooding us. And we haven't learned to adjust to this, and I think we as Christians haven't truly learned to adjust to this yet. And there is a way. God wants us spiritually to know that. So this is the first thing. Interesting verses. These are from the Apocrypha. I don't spend a great deal of time in the Apocrypha, but it's an interesting verse in Ecclesiasticus is one of the books there. And I'm just going to read these verses to you. It says, "Do not bring every man into your house, for many are the traps of the deceitful. A decoy partridge in a cage. So is the heart of the proud, and like a spy he watches for your downfall. For he lies in wait, changing the good things into evil, and he attaches blame to the worthy things." Be careful who we let in our house. Be careful what we listen to. Jesus said, be careful what you hear in Mark 4:24, and be careful how you hear in Luke 8:18. Be careful who you let in your house. Be careful what you allow to just be something you receive from. Be careful. There needs to be a guard on this. And this is why in our second portion here, Jesus said, look, I want you to be as wise or shrewd as the serpent. I want you to understand what's going on in the world out there. That it's no longer just black and white. There's just a multitude of different blends of conditions and aspects and attitudes and things that are being presented to you. I want you to understand the world. There is an enemy out there philosophically that we're dealing with. It's the ideology of the age. And we're dealing with that. Understand that. But notice this. He says, I also at the same time want you to be harmless. But the word there just, it actually means innocent or pure as a dove. I don't want you to engage in their motives. I don't want you to engage in their mindset. I don't want you to think like they think or act like they act. I want you to understand that it's out there. But I don't want you to be like that. We as Christians should understand what's going on in the world, but we certainly shouldn't act like the world or speak like the world or think like the world or react like the world. We as Christians, there is a sense of innocence and purity that we should have. This is why Paul said, and we're going to use these verses again on Sunday, but in Romans chapter 16, verse 19 and 20, notice in the B part it says, I want you to be wise with regard to what is good. I want you to know the things that God has entrusted to you, all the goodness that God's given you. I want you to focus in on everything that Christ has accomplished for you. I want you to think about that, man. Just keep that in front of you. Let the cross be between you and everything. But notice this. I want you to be innocent with regard, the same word there, as harmless. I want you to be pure when it comes to the evil. I don't want you to engage in their methodology. I don't want you to act as they act or think as they think or speak as they speak. I don't want you to be engaged in that. As Christians, I want to separate you from all these things. And notice what it says, because there's going to come a time where Satan, the God of peace, will what? He's going to crush the head of our enemy. Believe me that we as Christians know that ultimately God is going to vindicate himself and his cause. And that's not just at his return. That could be at any moment in time, God is going to show up. He's going to vindicate his cause and his people. It's important that we stay right in that place, that we embrace that cause. Now, by the way, I think the people that are the grumbling people are people that have no meaning or have lost their meaning. Interesting article or book that I've read, and I just took it up and went through many of the quotes and perused through it today. It's by Viktor Frankl. Viktor Frankl saying, Man's Search for Meaning is the name of the book. Now, Viktor Frankl was an interesting guy. He lived in Vienna. He was a psychologist. During the Second World War, he was captured. His whole family was captured. His wife, he lost his wife. His parents were taken and killed. They died in concentration camps. Only his sister survived. He was in Auschwitz. He himself suffered massively. But he came out of it not harmed in the way that so many people were harmed. You think about all the people that have PTSD or post-traumatic stress syndrome today and things. I'm not belittling that, but if anybody should have had it, he should have had it. In fact, he was asked one time, do you hate the German people? Do you despise the German? Do you hate the German people? And he said, in all honesty, I don't see different races. I see only people who are good people and people who are bad people. People who choose or make decisions to be good people and people who make the choice to be a bad person. And isn't that true? That really that's the only distinction between human beings today? And think of all the people that are alive today that are living on this earth, that have no sense of meaning. And so they're desperately searching for something that can give them a sense of identity. And they become grumbling informers. They're people that are empty people looking for the next thing that will fill them up. And they just can't wait to pass it on. They're just empty people. Unhappy people looking for something to give them some sense of identity. And if you think about the last few years, just in the last few years, how much of this has gone on. Just how much of this has gone on. It's just been a part of everything. And so Viktor Frankl is a quote that he has in his book, and you'll notice it here, it says, forces beyond your control can take away everything. Now, this is a guy that lost everything. It's funny, as you read through his book, he was talking about the fact that he didn't know whether his wife was alive or not, but he decided that he was going to not dwell on her presence or absence, but his love for her. That's what he chose. That he would just live in that with the thought of his love for her. And that's one of the things that kept him, was just the fact he didn't know she died in the concentration camp. He did not know it. He just said, I'm going to live my life And I decide to think of the one that I love so much. And that's what he did. He just spent his life in the concentration camp doing that until he was delivered. Forces beyond your control can take away everything you possess except one thing: your freedom to choose how you will respond to the situation. You cannot control what happens to you in life, but you can always control what you will feel and what you'll do about what happens to you. We're never left with nothing as long as we retain the freedom to choose how we will respond. Now, I don't know about you. He was a Jewish. Obviously, he had upbringing in the Jewish faith. But this is a man that grasped a certain degree of truth. And that truth was this, is that I'm not God. I can't decide how life is going to come out, but I can decide how I am going to approach life. Now, we as believers, all the more, that life doesn't rule us, we rule life. If you study in James chapter 1, it talks about counting it all joy in verse 2 when you fall into these varying trials and everything. It goes through, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask. And then when it gets down to verse 12, when it talks about a person vacillating and don't think that that person's going to receive anything, then in verse 12 it says this, that if you go through this, then guess what God's going to do? He's going to give you a crown of life, meaning that you've ruled over life. You won the battle. You won the day. It didn't beat you, you beat it. And how did you do that? Right relationship with your God, asking your God to be who he is for you, to receive from him. That's what we do, right? So I think the biggest issue in life today is that people just simply have no meaning. We as Christians have meaning. When Jesus looked at Peter and said, "Follow me," he gave him meaning. When Jesus called his disciples, he gave them meaning. When Paul was, met on the road to Damascus, what did he receive? He received meaning. I'm your Lord. Hey, I'm telling you what's going to happen. You're going to serve me to the Gentiles, and yes, you'll be persecuted, but you're going to be mine. You're going to preach this gospel to the Gentiles. It gave him meaning. So much so that he said, "I'm not ashamed. I know in whom I believed," and 2 Timothy 1:12, and man, I'm persuaded that he's able to guard my investment. It's in the bank, God's eternal bank. He's going to take care of it until the day. I'm not afraid. He had meaning. We as Christians have meaning. We have a reason to be alive. We have something to share, someone to talk about. We have a reason why this is happening. It's not just happening. We have a reason why this is happening. God's using it in our life in Romans 8:29. He's conforming us into the image of Christ. Everything has meaning. We have real meaning. Now, prior to Christ, I didn't know what my meaning was. My meaning was just simply to be somebody or to achieve something or to get somewhere or to do something. But all those things were temporal and they passed away quickly. But you come to Christ, you have eternal meaning. You've got meaning from the point of your salvation for the rest of eternity. You're going to be in Christ. You're going to know him and grow in your relationship. You have meaning. You have a reason. We all have that. That's why we truly can be happy people. Now, these are the verses. You've heard them before. We just went through John's gospel. And in John 15:11, look, he said, "I just want you to abide in me. You abide in me, you'll produce much fruit." I want your joy to be fulfilled in the fact that you know me, you're in me, you pray in me, I answer those prayers. You see meaning in life. I think about my own life, and I think perhaps in the last year I've been more of a grumbling informer than I've been a happy Christian. Listening to what the world was trying to inform me about that had no real purpose, rather than sharing the truths of the gospel and praying to a God that I actually have access to, who sees me and wants to answer my prayers. Can you see how the devil would much rather have us be grumbling informers than happy people in Christ? In John 16, he talks about a woman being in travail and, you know, giving birth, pain, sorrow, verse 21. Verse 22 says, now you guys are going to, I'm getting ready to go to the cross, you're going to have sorrow. But don't worry about it, your joy is going to become great. And no one, he says in verse 22, is going to take that joy from you. Happiness. In that day you'll ask me no questions, and truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask me, ask the Father for anything, he'll give it to you in my name. He said, until now you've asked for nothing in my name. Ask, he said, you'll receive, that your joy may be full. Look, we have happiness. We have a relationship with the living God. We can fill ourselves up with grumbling. We can be just informers that pass on the grumbling of a human nature that has no purpose nor meaning. And I don't care whether you're on the right or the left. It doesn't matter. It's still grumbling. It's just complaining about the other. And that's what goes on all the time. Or we can be people that are praying to a living God. We can be in His presence. We can come to a throne of mercy, a throne of grace, and receive mercy. We can actually come into His presence. We have access into the presence of God. Look, Jesus died, so in John 17, 13, our joy could be full. This is why Paul could say, what is it, Philippians 3, 1, then again, in chapter 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. We can be happy people. We can be thankful because God is with us. In everything give thanks in 1 Thessalonians 5. How can you do that unless your purpose, your meaning is Christ? It supersedes this world. That the details of this world don't have the means nor the opportunity to take that from you. See, in all honesty, this is what we share with the world. Doesn't mean you go around with a smile on your face all the time, but it means this. Your source is not of this earth. Yours and mine. Our source is from above. That's why our affections are there. We think above. We're seated above. We draw to the things that are above. We're looking unto that. Our source is above. I'll close with this. But you'll notice that there's always someone that wants to take this viewpoint away from us. And you'll also notice in our verses tonight that there's a part of us that's inclined. It's like a dainty morsel. We're inclined to want to go there. So we have to be careful. Not only what we hear, but how we hear. Like, am I listening to this in right relationship with the God that I know and love? Or am I listening to this because, man, I have this void and I just want to fill it. I know there's someone out there that's worse than me, and I'll feel so much better about myself if I just listen to this garbage that's being said about this person. By the way, that person was created in the image of God too, just like you, just like me. By the way, Jesus died for that person just like he did for you and for me. By the way, he or she is no more of a sinner than you and I are. We're all in that boat. Kind of changes the whole perspective. So we can be happy people, blessed people, fruitful people, receiving from God. Happy because God is working in our lives. We have meaning. We know why God, why we're here and what we're doing. Happy because we know that when we pray, God wants to answer our prayers. He wants to hear from us. Happy because we know that anything that we're confronted with on this earth is just another opportunity for us not only to grow in our relationship with Him, but also to speak to Him about it and everything that's going on. Next time we hear of a problem, let's do this. Let's go to the throne where we belong and talk to a living God and a Savior that sits on the right-hand side of the Father that can't wait to hear about it and wants us to share it. Makes us a happy people. Amen. Father, bless each one, and we thank you. Simple truth, but important for all of us. And Lord, we do pray that you'll just give us clarity and wisdom and guidance as we go through these various times that we navigate these things, that you'll give us the wisdom that we need. And we just pray that you'll bless and encourage each and every one. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. I have time for a couple.